The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is sponsored in part by TripInsurance.com, making it easy to buy travel insurance at the best available price. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thanks for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Happy to have you here, and happy Thanksgiving if you're living in the U.S. If you're not, happy Thursday. So changing things up a little bit this week, instead of having Sherry Laskin here with Cruise News, gave her the day off because it's Thanksgiving, and she wasn't available, really. So she'll be on this weekend on the Cruise Radio Rewind episode with this week's Cruise News. On this week's show, we have a review of Celebrity Summit. I hope you enjoy it. Justin just returned from a 7-night cruise aboard Celebrity Summit. It was out of San Juan to the Southern Caribbean. He joins us on the line. Hey, buddy.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. So you're up in Atlanta. You had to get down to San Juan, Puerto Rico for this cruise. Give us some pre-cruise thoughts.
Yeah, so myself and I guess I'll spoil the first cruise port. Myself and my new fiance, we've previously done I, at least for my own, unless I'm forgetting a cruise on her end, have only done Caribbean cruises out of, like, the Florida ports. Mm-hmm. So before this cruise on Celebrity Summit, we'd only done Carnival cruises before. So we decided – we saw a really nice fare on Celebrity. It's been a brand that we've been wanting to try just because of the reputation it has as one of the nicer mass market lines. Saw a really good airfare deal coupled with a really, really solid Aqua Class fare out of – on the Summit, and decided to snatch it up.
Awesome. Now, did you do any pre-cruise time in San Juan?
Yeah, so we left on Thursday night, landed in San Juan about 9 o'clock, and we actually stayed in the Vanderbilt in the Condado area. I'd only ever been to San Juan for, like, you know, day cruise stops, and so we wanted to try to spend at least one full day in San Juan, check out old San Juan. She'd never been to San Juan before, so we stayed in the Vanderbilt, caught a taxi over to old San Juan, had some ceviche as we watched the sunset. It was really pretty.
And how was embarkation once you got onto Celebrity Summit? Because that's over there. You board that at the, what is it, the Pan American Cruise Terminal?
Yeah, and I mean, the terminal is very bare bones, but the actual process itself, so we were supposed to get there, according to our little check-in schedule, at about 12:30. But we were, you know, super hyped to get onto the cruise ship. So we actually got to the terminal right at 11. So a good bit early. We'd done all the pre-check-in, downloaded the app, had our passports, did the, you know, where you can upload your photo, link your credit card in advance. So all in all, by the time we dropped our bags, got through check-in, and were ready to board the ship, it probably took no more than about 5 to 10 minutes. It was a really quick and easy process.
Celebrity Summit just underwent this massive renovation around 6 months ago or so, I think back in March. What were your first impressions when you boarded the ship?
So you board through, I think it's deck 4, and they bring you in. It's not into the main atrium, which is a little different. Like I said, we've only ever done Carnival before, and they always put you directly through their atrium on all the ships we've been before. But this time they bring you in through a little side door that's right next to the art gallery and the casino. Everyone gets a free glass of champagne getting onto the ship. And then you just kind of find your way up to your room. Our stateroom was already ready and cleared so we could drop bags. And we actually booked deck 11 Aqua Class rooms to get what we were going for, was like just a full on revolutionized, I think is what they call it, you know, Celebrity experience on the ship. And the ship itself is gorgeous.
Is the Aqua Class a type of stateroom, or is it like a veranda balcony stateroom?
So the Aqua Class, I think, on the Summit are all balcony balcony rooms. There might be some interior Aqua Classes that I just don't – I didn't see. Mm-hmm. But the ones that we booked were on deck 11, which is the highest passenger deck on the Summit. So the deck above us was actually the outdoor theater space. Below us is the buffet. And I think our level was all ocean class rooms on deck 11.
And that's – the Aqua Class gets you access to the – do they have Blue Restaurant on there?
Yeah, they've got the blue restaurant. You get priority check-in and check-out out if there was any Tinder ports. There weren't on this cruise, but I think that's also a perk. You also get unlimited access to the thermal suites, priority booking for spas, spa treatments, which the fiance took advantage of a couple of times. And the amenities in the room are a little bit nicer as well. The shower is upgraded. They bring you canapes in the afternoon, which is nice whenever you get back from a port. It was a really good experience.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now, what'd you think of the stateroom itself?
So the stateroom's great. I saw before and after pictures. I'm a researchaholic before any sort of cruise. So I had done as much research and as much homework as I could find on YouTube, watching stateroom tours and things like that. The bathroom we both loved, upgraded to where it has that marble looking surfaces, like the countertops and everything. Really nice glass door instead of a shower curtain. The shower itself was a little cramped, and we're both, she's 26, I'm 30. We're both in pretty good shape, and even we found that the shower was a little bit cramped. But the room itself, very spacious. The balcony, there's nothing above you, so you've got pretty amazing, views off of the balcony. You can watch the pilot boat if you're on the right side of the ship for that, all that kind of fun stuff.
Let's transition to dining now. What time dining did you have, and what did you think of it?
So we did anytime dining, and we tried, I think I did every single dining venue on the ship, including the specialty dinings. Mm-hmm. She did not do the Sushi on Five. She's just not a seafood fan. I guess we can start in the main dining room. We did this two nights, and we just kind of based our decision-making on dinners based off of menus. The two nights that we sat in the main dining room, it was kind of strange. The anytime folks were actually sitting on the main level of the dining room, and then the assigned time was the floor above. Mm-hmm. So they had the overlook of the main dining room. Most of the time there was no wait. I think they also allow you to book reservations in the main dining room, even with anytime dining. So there was two lines, which was kind of confusing. But we had on one night, I think we had about a 20-minute wait. And on the second night, we actually got there right at 5:45 because it was a long port day and we were hungry. Got sat. The food itself, I will say, is, light and day better from our experience on Carnival ships. Mm-hmm. And the other downside, I guess, was kind of the service. And this was one thing that we kind of both agreed on. The service from the waiters and the sommeliers and the assistant waiters. And this kind of goes across all of the venues. While I wouldn't say it was bad, there was nothing that ever really stood out. And we had a couple of really bad services on the ship, once in the main dining room and once in the blue restaurant.
Aren't the before and after photos of the main dining room stunning?
Oh, it is an actual, at no point during this cruise did we ever think the ship is not in a stunning condition. The venue itself is gorgeous. We actually lucked out. I think I kind of dropped as a hint to the person seating us that we had just gotten engaged. So they actually sat us by the big outward facing, where you can see the wake windows on a two top. And it was the actual venue and the food quality and just that type of aspect. It was gorgeous in there.
And how was the buffet experience?
I loved it. She loved it. I think the food on the buffet is probably some of the best food that I've had on a cruise ship. I'm a huge Eggs Benny fan, and they have make your own eggs or custom made Eggs Benedict station as part of the breakfast on the buffet. She was absolutely digging the vegetarian and the vegan and the Indian sections. They also have a make your own custom pasta, all the fancy cheeses at a cheese station, custom made or freshly made daily breads and desserts. And really, the desserts, I know a lot of times on cruise ships, the cakes and stuff like that can kind of be underwhelming. They look really pretty. But in our experience, we never really had a bad dessert while we were on the ship, including in the buffet.
So I have to ask, did you have any of that pizza in the buffet?
That is some of the best pizza. And the only thing we hated was that you couldn't get it at 4:00 in the morning on a Carnival ship.
I threw down 11 slices at one time. It was
very impressive. Yeah. I think my record was at 11:55 because there was a bunch of pizza and they actually closed the buffet at midnight. Mm-hmm. I did clean out half a pizza whenever nice. I was I'll just go grab a light salad and then four pieces of pizza later.
Yeah, I'll run it off later. No big deal. So let's talk about the specialty restaurants you went to.
So the first night actually on the cruise, so that the Saturday night of embarkation, we did Tuscan with the $30 each head cover or price point. And that is probably the best meal I've ever had on a cruise ship. The steaks were perfect. The service was, you know, pristine. We actually had the premium drinks package and the drink service, both the cocktails and the wine service pairings with like the meals that we were having was just perfect. I asked the waitress, for example, like the lead waitress, if she would recommend the calamari or the crab cake. She said the calamari and then just brought me both anyway. I had the dry aged ribeye, I believe, which was just amazing. Some of the best steak I've ever had, including on land. She had a bunch of pasta dishes and a bunch of the sides, and I had a lot of those as well, and they were really good. And then her favorite dessert in the universe is creme brulee, and they had a pistachio creme brulee in Tuscan Grill, which she said was probably her favorite dessert of the cruise. And that was probably, if we do Celebrity again, it'll absolutely be a priority to be on a ship that has a Tuscan Grill.
How was Blue?
So Blue was great from a food perspective. I really appreciated, like, you know, you get to day six or day five or six on a cruise, and while on day one, two, and three, you're like, give me all of the food all of the time. By that point, like, clothes are starting to not really fit anymore. And so, like, that whole idea of fresher, lighter calories, you know, more seafood and protein versus carb food, it was really refreshing to have that later in the cruise. And again, the only thing I can really say is the service was just a little off, I think, for this ship, or at least for our cruise. And we did have probably our worst dining experience, and it was actually on the day of disembarkation. We got sat right at 6:30. The program said that they were open at 6 to 8 o'clock for breakfast before you got off the ship. We got sat at 6:30, and she got her food delivered in about 20 minutes, and then I had to sit for another 25 minutes for Eggs Benedict and a Bellini. But like, the food itself was great, and I think, you know, if we do book with Celebrity again, I think that Blue is worth at least that part of the Aqua Class premium.
What were your thoughts of the Raw on 5, the sushi restaurant on board? Because I've never had sushi on Celebrity.
It was really good. So again, like, since I had the premium drinks package, I was able to try some sake, was able to do some like custom that venue specific cocktails, green tea with my meal, had edamame and I think a miso soup before, which was really good. And then the sushi roll that I ordered was, I think it was like a California or a spicy tuna roll with like baked scallops over the top. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the, you know, I can't, it's hard pressed for me to remember a just nicer sushi dinner on land. It was a really good experience. And, you know, at $20 or something like that, you know, again, I wasn't paying for my drinks, so it was $20 with free drinks. But at that type of a price point, I think it's definitely worth it. And I really enjoyed it.
You say $20. Was that a la carte?
Yeah, it's a la carte. So like the edamame was like four, like the appetizers are like $3 to $6, depending on what you get. And then a lot of the rolls will be like $10 to $12.
Okay. And did we miss any other specialty restaurants?
So the other one that they have on board is actually, I guess, depending on when this episode comes out, Cuisine, which won't exist on the Summit anymore. I think they're phasing it out to the La Petite Chef at the beginning or end of November, beginning of December. And to be frank, like if we cruise on the Summit again, we wouldn't have been booking Cuisine again. So if we go back on the Summit, it'll be interesting to try La Petite Chef. Cuisine's not bad. I just, even with us getting a deal, so we were approached by an assistant waiter in Blue on the last port day before the last sea day, offering us any sort of specials on specialty dining. And they were able to get us booked on the last night for Cuisine for $30 a person instead of the regular $45. Even at $30, it's a good meal. I wouldn't pay $30 a head for it, but the food was interesting, presented in like really interesting ways. Again, we ran into a bit of a service issue, but other than that, it was an interesting meal.
Would you say it's gimmicky?
Yeah. The food, it's not overwhelmingly impressive as far as like the taste or the like interesting flavors. I think they spent a lot of time, and one thing that Rachel mentioned was like, it was hard to identify a theme. I think I told her, like, I think the theme is just weird. And that's the theme that they're going for, is just weird. You know, you've got the upside down chandeliers, and you're ordering off of iPads, but there's not really, like, you're just selecting things and then you still have to tell the waiter what you want. And it's hard to, like, line up who's going to get what, because they limit you to 6 dishes, even with 2 people. So it's hard to, like, line up who's going to get what and that type of thing.
Yeah, when they launched Cuisine, I think it was like back in 2010, I was on the ship that it launched on, and they kept using the word whimsical.
It's not a bad word for it. Yeah. Like I said, it was hard for us to identify a theme, whimsical or weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good words for it.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the entertainment on this 7-night cruise. What'd you think of it?
So this was another big piece that we kind of felt like, so we've only ever done Carnival before, and on Carnival ships, you know, they get the brand of it's a big party atmosphere, but Rachel and I are in bed by like 10, 11 o'clock, even on cruises. We go to all the shows. We go to some of the trivias and things like that. And we tried to do that on the Celebrity ship. I can't really remember the cruise director's name. He wasn't bad. He wasn't good. The shows on board, the production shows, she really liked them. They weren't my bag, but they usually aren't. And then the side act, so I guess Celebrity, at least on the Summit, they do 2 production shows on 2 nights. And then the other nights, they'll have side entertainment. So one night it was like a magician. One night it was a solo artist. And I think on another night it was a comedian. But we would step in. If we weren't interested, we would walk back out. And then the other big issue that we ran into is the Celebrity app. And this was actually a big one for us. We've really enjoyed a lot of the cruise lines involving more and more technology, so you don't have to, you know, sit around a paper planner and then remember that for the entire day the next. We wanted to use the app, but what we actually figured out about halfway through the cruise is that there's a lot of events that are missing from the app, even if you use the show all feature. And it caused us to actually, once we look back at some of the programs from the earlier days, we missed some of the things that we really wanted to do because of that. So I don't know. It's just the quality outside of the production shows, plus like that really frustrating technology snafu. That was another one of our big negatives from the cruise.
How did the ship handle during sea days as far as crowds and congestion?
I have never seen more deck chairs get dibsed earlier than on this cruise. Anything not directly in the sun but near a pool, especially in the solarium area, the adults-only area of the ship, those had towels and stuff put down on them as early as like 7 o'clock in the morning, because I get up at about 6 or 7 a.m. on cruises, go for a run to try to keep the calories under some sort of control. And the way that you have to go from the Deck 11 Aqua Class rooms to the onboard fitness center, it takes you through the solarium. So even on port days, you would have people dibsing chairs at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning that were in premium locations. And the only other thing I can say on this is that there's those 2 main pool areas, the main deck pool and then the solarium. And while there's plenty of deck chairs, a lot of them are in less than ideal places. So they are in very direct sunlight with like no shade opportunities, or they're like right next to the smoking section on the ship, which is like an open air area that is right off of, still connected to the main pool area, which she has really bad asthma. So that kind of made us not able to use that section of the ship.
And we'll skip the smoke in the casino situation, because Celebrity doesn't allow smoking in the casino, correct?
Yeah, and I am a big time like Texas Hold'em player. I will say that I really enjoyed the casino on this ship. They do live dealers for the Texas Hold'em games for the nightly cash games. The tournaments are a lot of fun, even like the blackjack tournaments. And like you said, like it being a non-smoking environment in the casino was super cool. And then we were also sailing actually during Halloween and the World Series for the American baseball stuff. And being able to sit in the casino, which is where a lot of like the passengers on board that were huge Houston Astros or Washington Nationals fans, they would come to the casino to watch the game, which was actually right next to the Texas Hold'em table. So sitting there being able to play a cash game while people were watching like game 6 and 7 of the World Series, that was like a really cool experience.
One of my favorite areas on Celebrity Summit is the Sunset Bar in the back of the ship. Did you spend any time back there?
Yep. And our Deck 11 cabins, there's actually a door that we can take that feeds directly into the Sunset Bar.
Oh, perfect.
So that would be our go-to in the morning for drinks or bottles of water if we were getting off the ship early, or since we had the drinks package, I would go down there to try to get a sugar-free Red Bull. The venue itself, the Sunset Bar, is that is pretty awesome. There was almost always a seat available, even during sail away. And then the only thing I could say that was like a negative was a lot of the bars would run out of things like sugar-free Red Bulls or like non-alcoholic stuff that would be part of the drinks package, even like the bottles of water they would run out of. And what you would end up having is like the bartender asking, like, did you want me to go look for this for you? At which point you're like, well, I guess not. Like, no, that's fine. I'll just take a water or a Coke Zero or a drink. But yeah, that Sunset Bar and having access to it right there on deck 10, whenever you have a room on deck 11, is super awesome during like sail aways to grab a quick drink and come back up to your balcony, something like that.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. So let's talk about the ports of call on this 7-night cruise. And what we'll do here is give us the port of call and give us a highlight from that port and move to the next one.
Yeah, so we got on Saturday. Sail away wasn't until that evening. And so we were all in bed, you know, trying to fall asleep for the first night. And we were in St. Kitts that Sunday morning. I believe that port was a 9:30 dock time until 6:30, maybe like 5:30 or 6 or something like that in the afternoon. So for this port, I actually had planned for this to be the port where I would propose to my now fiance. Spoiler alert, she said yes. So I found a local photographer on the island, contracted with her, and she helped me scout some locations. I rented a car through the Avis rental place that's right off of the cruise terminal, and really reasonable for like – and if anyone ever considers renting a car in St. Kitts, get the smallest car possible, because driving on that loop road on St. Kitts is terrifying enough in a go-kart. I could not imagine trying to do that in like a big truck or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we did a tour of the island. We went to one of the black sand beaches and hung out for a while. We grabbed brunch at a place that we found or someone had recommended to us on the Cruise Critic forums. And then we at about 1 o'clock, I had arranged for us to meet the photographer at Brimstone Fortress, which is a UNESCO site on the island. She Rachel didn't know that I had done all of this. So we go up to the fort, drive up the little curvy road, go up to the very tippity top of the fort. I pretended that I was setting up my GoPro to take a picture, set my backpack down, grabbed the ring box out of my backpack, did the proposal thing, and the photographer's up there taking her pictures on top of the fort, and we've got some really good memories from that. Dropped off the car at about 3 o'clock, got back on the ship, and yeah, man, that was a really, really awesome Sunday.
Dude, every single guy should be taking notes right now, because I was just taking notes. Good work, man.
I got some props whenever we got back in, and we had the internet package. Posted it online, like on the Facebook, did all the announcement stuff. And yeah, I got some props for that.
Very good. Now, what was your next port of call?
So after that Sunday in St. Kitts, we had a sea day. And the first, so that was Monday for the sea day. Tuesday, we were in Aruba. Docked at 8, and every port from here on out was 8 to 5. Everything was on time at all of the ports throughout this cruise, no issues, and the weather was actually pretty perfect for the entire cruise. We had like one 30-minute rainstorm, and it was on the last sea day at night. But in Aruba, we got there at about 8. I had booked through, I think it's like ABC Tours is the vendor that we went with, so we almost always book everything independent. We did UTVs in the Aruban Desert. Rachel and I both took turns driving, going up and down the mountains and doing the desert area. We were able to go swimming in the natural pool. We went through caves. We went to the donkey sanctuary. It was super duper hot. It is October was apparently like October, November are the hot months for Aruba, according to our guide. It was probably about 95 degrees that day, and back home it was like 28 or 35 degrees or something like that day, which was interesting to see Facebook pictures. But yeah, that was a really cool day. I think we're still washing off some of the desert dust from it, though.
I have to ask, what is the Aruban Desert like? I mean, is it like a desert we picture in the Southwest here in the States?
So I've never been to like the desert areas of the Southwestern states, but from what I can see, like in pictures and stuff, it is pretty similar. It's just a lot more rocky versus like sand. There are sand dunes and stuff like that in the Aruban Desert. They're just like very scattered throughout. Most of it is like red dirt and big boulders.
Okay.
I guess just because it's a volcanic island, it's just as things get worn down. So there's places where you're going down like 60 degree angles in the UTV. There's like this one little really cool cliffside where there's a bunch of goats hanging out, cactuses everywhere. It was really pretty.
And then what was your next port of call?
Got done in Aruba, and then the next one was actually Curacao. Mm-hmm. And for this one, we just wanted to have a relaxed beach day, which, you know, going into it, we figured we would be tired from Aruba, and we were not wrong. So in Curacao, we just got off the port. Man, those taxi prices in Curacao are expensive.
Yeah.
But we booked a taxi for us, just us two, over to, I think it's Puerto Maya or something like that. But it's like a beach where there are wild pigs and iguanas and stuff like that running around everywhere. And it's where a lot of like the people that go just to Curacao go.
Mm-hmm.
Not, it's way far away from the cruise terminal. So it was just us and some tourists. And it was a really small, intimate setting. We had a lounger. It's like $15-$20 gets you in, and a lounger and an umbrella and all that kind of stuff. I rented a snorkel mask and went out into the very crystal clear waters and did some snorkeling. And we just relaxed for that day.
And then after Curacao, where'd you go?
And then the last port day was Bonaire. So it was the St. Kitts and the ABC Islands was the itinerary. And I've never done that before. So we tried to do like the greatest hits minus Curacao, like the thing each island is best known for. So in Bonaire, I'm a huge snorkel fanatic. So we went through Woodwind, I think is the name of the company. And it's about a 4-hour chartered like sailboat. And we, at first, as we were showing up to the excursion, I'm like, oh, no, it's a cattle call, because it was about 18 or 20 other people plus like 6 crew members on a like one room sailboat. But the way they have everyone spread out on the boat and having like 6 crew members for that number of passengers is great, because like 3 of the people that were or 3 of the crew were like the guides for the snorkeling. Then there was the captain, and then like 2 people that were just there to like run drinks, and they had free booze and one of the best lunches I've ever had on an excursion. It was like a seafood lo mein type of dish. And the snorkeling itself on Bonaire is absolutely awesome. One of the guides let me use his like the super long, super floppy fins.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to do a lot of like free diving. They did a really, really good job from this provider keeping people away from like the shallow reef section, so no damage was done to the reef. The guides were super knowledgeable on like individual fish types and coral types, and able to give us like, you know, really good lessons about what we were looking at. But they also gave you plenty of freedom if you were a strong swimmer to go out there and do your own thing.
You mentioned you like to snorkel a lot. Do you use those full face masks?
No, I always just like the old school, you know, 2-piece masks.
Yeah,
they're same. Easier if like anything does fog up, or if you spring a leak or anything like that. It's a lot easier to like get it cleaned out really quickly than like the full face masks. I've only used the full ones once, and I might have just been using a bad one. But people have told me like they're really good for free diving, so I might check one out.
Yeah. So you make your way back to San Juan. How was disembarkation?
It was a breeze. Other than the breakfast snafu that I talked about earlier in Blue, getting off the ship with this line is super fast. We did the you know, where you put the bags outside of the door the night before. We just didn't want to have to deal with them in the morning, since we knew we were going to try to wake up early to grab breakfast. Headed down to Blue, grabbed a quick bite to eat, and then got off the ship. From the time that our zone was called, we were a little bit late actually showing up to our zone. Sorry, everybody. From the time that we started heading down to disembarkation to getting into an Uber to head to our pre-flight area, it was probably about 10-15 minutes. And then we both have global entry, so we were able to just zoom right out of the port.
All right. Do you have any first-time tips for someone maybe who is sailing either out of San Juan or on Celebrity Summit?
So for San Juan, like just know, like if you're doing a Southern Caribbean cruise and the time of year that we were going, it is going to be very hot, at least from what every guide told us. I think like the average temperature both on board plus at the ports was like 85, 90 degrees plus in October. And then the only other thing I would say about sailing out of San Juan is it is a really quick cruise terminal, at least from whenever we experienced it. And the Summit only holds about, I think we had about 2,300 people on board. So maybe if it's a larger ship, it might be a little bit of a nightmare just because it is an older terminal. But we experienced like no waits, no lines or anything like that.
This next question, I think I may know the answer. What was your biggest highlight of this cruise?
Yeah, I think I have to say St. Kitts. I mean, other than the obvious reason, like, it's just a really pretty island. Mm-hmm. It's something that we are absolutely going to try to go back to do some of, like, the more specialized, like, climb the volcano.
Sure.
Do some of the more tropical rainforesty stuff, enjoy some of the beaches versus, like, driving around all day. It just seems like it's an island with a lot of stuff going on, and it's definitely something that we're going to try to target for repeat revisits.
Final thoughts of Celebrity Summit.
At this point, like, what we decided on the ship is we want to try to book like an Apex or an Edge cruise with Celebrity just to experience. We don't know if some of the problems that we experienced were just it's an older ship, even with the refurbishment. It's still a 20-year-old ship. It's a smaller crew. We don't know. Maybe because of the reposition down to San Juan, some systems were being switched around. It's just for the price differential that you pay between like a Carnival or a Royal or a Norwegian going up to a Celebrity level, especially like an Aqua class or a Suite level. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much value we got out of doing that upgrade. You know, we can do one or maybe two Celebrity cruises, or we could do like 3 to 4 really cool Carnival cruises for the same price. So what we're going to try to do is maybe an Apex or an Edge cruise in Aqua class, experience like the tippity top Celebrity product, and see if like that price differential, if it makes sense for us.
Yeah, fair enough. We've been talking with Justin about his 7-night cruise aboard Celebrity Summit. Justin, thanks for giving us your review, man.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work, man.
Check out our blog, the video page, and interact at cruiseradio.net.
When is your next cruise? Where are you going? And what are you going to do once you get there? Market-leading specialist cruisingexcursions.com offers savings up to 60% off shore excursions versus cruise line prices. Whether it's private, shared, scenic, historic, or family tours, cruisingexcursions.com has up to 12,000 excursions in over 700 ports worldwide, like Rome, Vatican City, St. Petersburg, Sydney, and Jamaica, just to name a few. You can even bundle your excursions for more savings. Make your next vacation affordable and unforgettable by visiting cruisingexcursions.com.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer 3 different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got here, buddy. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da. Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.